أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. صدق الله العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now we've been talking about Suratul Inshiqaq. You remember that, I hope. I'm just going to go over it very quickly. Inshiqaq, Surah number 80. Come on. So many days. 84, okay, Inshiqaq. Inshiqaq is, how many ayat was it? Oh, good, 25, okay. 25 ayat. And I said for every surah of the Quran, you would look at its focus. The focus of Inshiqaq is every human being will meet his or her striving. So in other words, I will know what my definition of success was. And the second thing, the second focus was that every stage will reach its conclusion. By that I meant that you will not remain a baby for long, you will not remain a toddler for long, you will not remain a teenager for long, middle age for long, old age, and you and I will die. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So that's the main focus. We divided the surah into five sections. Okay, that was a bit unexpected. So we divided the surah into five sections. The first section was cosmic chaos. Cosmic chaos will happen on the day of Qiyamah, and we talked extensively about accountability. Accountability and Jannah and Jahannam, when we talked about muhasabah, which is how we would prepare for it. The second section, if you remember, is what we're talking about now, which was success. And Allah's concept of success is very different from our concept of success. I talked about it, we talked about Suratul Asr, and I'll continue today. The third section is obviously the bit where every stage will reach its conclusion. The fourth section was the warning to those who do not follow divine guidance. And finally, the fifth section is limitless. And I asked you to watch the movie. Oh my God, yes, I did ask you to watch a movie. Or I asked you to read the book, which was limitless. But we'll talk about it at the end. Today, I'd like to go back to the second section. So we've now looked at the divine concept of success. We looked at it. We also saw that in this divine concept, we needed help. Because if you looked at Suratul Asr, although failure was looked at solitary confinement, you and I will never, ever, ever expose our failures. We will not go and tell somebody, I didn't do well here, or this is my failure. Al-insan, the human being, doesn't do that. But to achieve success, we need people. And if you remember, we talked about friends. Really important, because they are there to take us through that, right? Yesterday, we talked about days and times and places which are important. They actually, it's like a Blue Cross sale. They boost you a little further. this farsh in particular has a phenomenal effect. It doesn't ask you who you are, how old you are, what color you are, where you came from. It allows you in. And when you leave with forgiveness. You can't find a farsh like this anywhere else. Okay? So we looked at that as well. Today, I'd like to look at a little bit of measurement. You see, every human being wants to know where they stand. So if your child was at school, you want to know through the exam results. I'm not quite sure that's a good benchmark, but hey, that's a benchmark we use to find out whether they got through their exams or not. Every human being wants to measure it. So you and I too want to measure our level of success. So how do we measure it? The measurements are two to start off with. And I'll look at the second one tomorrow. One is the measurement of salah. And that's a personal thing, a very personal thing. It's very difficult unless the human being himself knows how his relationship with Allah is. And it's through salah, inshallah, we'll look at it tomorrow. But today we will look at the measurement, which is quite obvious, quite easy when you start communicating with a human being. And that's the measurement of how they interact with their parents. So today it's all about parents, especially your mamas. Some of you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. I will not apologize for it. I want you to feel uncomfortable. Okay? So it's really important what this means. And I see little ones, and you're sort of thinking, oh God, here she goes again. No, it's not me, it's God. Okay? So I'm going to start right at the beginning. First of all, let me talk about Team Muhammad, so you understand where I'm coming from. Team Muhammad started with three people. Muhammad, Khadija, and Ali. Khalas. That's all there was. Three people in this team. And this was the team that this is the measurement for. Today, there's 1.9 billion Muslims in the world. 1.9 billion. 24.1% of the human population of the world is Muslim. There's 195, I'm getting good at this, 195 countries, Palestine included. Okay. Out of that, 49 countries, majority is Muslim. So Team Muhammad grew, right? So Team Mom will grow as well. So it's really important to see, how do I stand, where do I stand? Incidentally, if your mom, in particular, mom and dad, but I'll go to mom first, if she is even a little bit upset with you, this is Quran, this is Hadith, okay? If she's even a little bit upset with you, you could be the best Muslim on the planet. You could be Hafiz al-Quran, you could be someone who helps the world and their wives. You will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. Oh dear, how sad. Anyway, let's start. Okay, so this is our measurement. Surah al-Isra, Surah number 17. You can look all these ayat up and you can look at them and see what he says. So he says, وَقَضَىٰ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. Your Rabb has ordained that you will obey none but him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And to your parents, you will do ihsan. Let me explain ihsan. So say, for example, you had, I don't know. Okay, let's go ihsan. Say, for example, you had £2. £1 for me, and £1 for my mom, or my dad, or my parents, is a farida. It is important I do that. £2, give them away, mean nothing, is called ihsan. If your mom and dad opened your purse and took their money out, there is no problem whatsoever. Oh my goodness. If they came into your bedroom and had a look, there's no such thing as privacy from mom and dad. Don't like that, do you? I told you, you're going to feel really uncomfortable. وَبِالْوَحَلِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Imma yablughanna indaka. So either one of them, qibara, if either one of them becomes old, okay, what does it say? Fala takul lahuma uffin. Don't even say uff. Now in the Arabic language, uff means do not even make them feel uncomfortable. Don't make them feel uncomfortable at all. It might be so difficult inside. And I am a mom, I know I'm a pain in the neck sometimes. But you will not show it on your face. You will not hurt her at all. فَلَا تَكُلْ لَهُمَا أُفِّنْ. And then he says, "Wala tanharhuma." Don't mock her. Mama, you're so old. How will you know all this? Have you tried to ask a child how a computer works? Or the phone? They say, "But Mama, press this, 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 and this." Mama, aste, no? But Mama, it's so easy. I say, when you were walking, do you know how long it took you to walk? Do you know how many questions you asked me? I don't say that, by the way. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَكُلَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. When you speak to them with respect. This is no choice, by the way. This is an order from divinity. Don't like it? Then you don't like being a Muslim. وَحْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاهَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Not enough. Not enough by speaking in respect to them. Lay under them the wings of your mercy. Be ultra kind to them. And then that's not enough either. Raise your hands. وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Every single dua, my Rabb, have mercy on them because they were kind to me, because the way they looked after me when I was little. Now, just a proviso here. Parents are not always right. I am one, I know. They do the best they think it is for their child. Saying yes is not going to hurt. Not hurting them is not going to hurt. But رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. I'm just going to take you a few ahadith. I've said it so many times. It's a lot of repetition for people. But Quran says, enough ati dhikra. Repetition is good. I'm going to pick bits and pieces that you can understand where they come from. So, Sayyid Murtaza Ansari, an amazing scholar of ours, okay? His mama died when she was in her 90s. Now most people, if they die in their 90s, we say old age. Nobody even asks how they died. Have you seen that? If somebody younger dies, they say, in Gujarati, they say, Sutyu, what happened? Well, Malikul Maut came, right? However, when somebody old dies, nobody even asks. They say, oh, maybe old age. Sheikh Murtaza Ansari, when his mama died, he wouldn't stop crying. And his students told him, Sheikh, why are you crying so much? He was a merger, by the way. Why are you crying so much? So you're the one who tells us sabr, you tell us. He said, I am who I am because of her. It is her du'as in the middle of the night when she got up and she raised her hands in du'a that makes me who I am. I wish you could see a mother's du'as. It's absolutely phenomenal, okay? Let me just do bits and pieces. I talked about Uwais Qarani, if you remember. There was a man who came to the Prophet and he said, everything's going wrong. There's nothing going right. Everything is going wrong. You know, business is going wrong, family splitting up, I don't know what to do. And the Prophet said, go ask your mother to pray for you. He said, I don't have a mama. He said, go to her grave. He said, I don't know where she's buried. He said, go to your back garden. Put a line in your back garden. Make the niyyah that this is your mama's grave and ask. For she is the only person who will be able to raise her hands from the grave as well. There was a man who came to the Prophet seriously in problems because he was one of those who had killed his daughter. Quran says, وَإِذَا مَوْعُودَتُ سُعِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. On the day of judgment, the newborn child will ask, for what reason was I killed? You see, the Arabs, they treated their women pretty badly. So when girls were born, in a skewed way, the fathers thought, I would rather bury her than see her being abused. Because women were abused, used, abused, thrown out. So the father thought, I don't want to see my daughter like this. I'd like you to imagine, and I say this many, many times, but it's good to start again. Imagine this mama has this daughter. And imagine mama says, please don't take her now. She's still little. Take her when she's a toddler. So baby grows up. She starts to toddle. And she starts to say mama and papa. And the dad says, I have to take her now. This is a tradition. We have to do this. And he takes his daughter. I'd like you to just imagine what they did. Takes his daughter to a hole in the ground, which is in the square, in the village square. Everybody did this, by the way. And he puts his daughter into the ground. And she says, Baba, are we playing hide and seek? And while she's in that hole, People are throwing earth on her, and she's buried. Can you imagine him and the PTSD he's going through? So he comes to the prophet and he said, I can't sleep at night. All I see is my child saying, Baba, you're leaving me here. How can I ask for forgiveness? What do I do? Now you'd have thought the prophet would say, people like you don't deserve to live. But the prophet tells him, have you got a mama? He said, no. He said, if you haven't got a mama, have you got your mom's sister? And he said, yes. He said, go and serve her all your life with the best of your ability and Allah will forgive you. Am I talking about you? I'm talking about a father murdering his daughter because of what the community tells him. Okay? So this is what a mother means. I mean, I could go on. I've got so many different things in here. Okay. Now there's a reason why Jannah was put under her feet. You know that? Al-Jannatu tahta aqdama ummahatikum. Jannah is put at the feet of mothers. Why didn't Allah give it to her in her hands? Have you seen how stupid moms are? If the child just comes and says, I'm really sorry, can I have Jannah? Yeah, take it, take it. You seen them? You seen your moms? Okay, they're amazingly stupid. They give it out to whoever came. But the reason why it's put under her feet is that you carry a little bit of her weight. Little bit. I was talking to the little children in Stanmore and I told them, how do you carry weight of your mama's? And they said, maybe I'll clean my room. Maybe I'll make her tea. And I thought, oh, the mess in the kitchen. Maybe I'll make her tea. Maybe I'll look after her. I'll wash the dishes. Now, what do you do with moms and dads that are difficult, who just don't get it? What do you do? What does Quran say? How am I going to deal with them? They just don't get it. They just don't understand. So we're going to talk about them, and then we're going to talk about rebellious kids as well. Okay? Now, moms and dads, generally, sorry, this is a general conversation. Like I told you before, they think they know the best. I'm going to go to my own life so you understand. I have 5 children and I have 9 grandchildren. Now my children bring up their children in different ways. One of them says her style of parenting or their style of parenting is positive parenting. Do you know what positive parenting is? It's whatever your child says you do. Achha bachha, it's okay. You don't tell them off. You explain to them. You know that, don't you? Grandmas here know this. Okay. The other daughter, sorry, shouldn't say daughter. The other child has strict parenting. For her, a treat is 1 Tic Tac. You're looking at me, right? Okay. The third one, I think is normal because she's like me, so I call her normal, right? So when you look at all of them as a grandparent, they're all trying to do the best for their children. Unless they're murdering them, the hardest bit for me is to keep quiet. So I go back to the kids. If your moms are being unfair, know that they wish the best for you. And therefore, to shout at them, to scream at them, is not what Quran will agree to. I told you, Jannah will be kept away. The fragrance of Jannah will be kept away from you. You'll never smell it. It'll be 70 years away, however good you are. I would sit and explain. I would sit and talk and talk and talk. And I would put stuff on her feet. I would hold her feet. She will give in, I promise you. And he will give in too. As long as you are there and you sit and chat to them and you ask for forgiveness all the time. Are you good with that? I've got a little one sitting here. Okay, now let's look at what Quran says. If you want to look at this, go to Surah number 46, Ayah 15, 16 and 17. I'm not going to go into the Arabic, just a translation. Allah says, when a human being reaches the age of 40, and 40 is an age when you're a bit stable, you know, all the teenage years are gone, you settle down, you've got a family and you're now settled. So Allah says, when they get 40, they raise their hands and they say, Rabbi, awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. My Rabb, show me a way of how I can show gratitude to you and gratitude to my parents. You won't do it when you're young. He says he will do it when you are 40. How am I going to do this? What do I do? How do I make life easy for them, despite the fact that they're so difficult? Take you back to a story. There was this man who, his mama was old, and she wanted to go for Hajj. So he carried her on his back. There were no wheelchairs then. There was no help then. So he carried her on his back from Yemen to Mecca. And he brings her to Mecca. And he does tawaf with her, with his mom on his back. And he does this tawaf. And when he finishes, he asks the Prophet, he said, have I done enough for my mama? Have I repaid this debt that you talk about in the Quran? And the Prophet said, no. Not even for a night's worth of rocking the cradle. So he said, how so? It's so easy. If you look, it's so easy to look after a baby. They're so cute, aren't they? And have you met old people? Oh my goodness. Look at one. Okay. So saying, not even for a night's cradle. He said, how so? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, because when she rocked your cradle, she raised her hands in dua and said, Ya Allah, no calamity should befall my child, and I will give my life to my child. Yet you are thinking, when will this end? When will life become good and life will end for her? There is a difference in the intentions of one who is looking after an old person and one who is looking after a young person. Okay, so this is what you do when you're 40. I'm going to tell you the story of Prophet Yusuf so you understand what we're talking about. So Prophet Yusuf was kidnapped by his brothers. You know that, right? Prophet Yaqub cried so much that he couldn't see. His eyes had become white, right? Now every time, Quran, by the way, look at Surah Yusuf. I'm going to skip some bits and just take you to the main bits. So every time he would sit, he would really think about his son. His son wouldn't empathize with him. Quran says, they said, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? You will end up sick if you keep on thinking about him. Forget him now. Don't think about him. That's it. You will end up dying if you do that. And he said, Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. I only complain of my grief and my sadness. I only complain it to Allah. I'm not complaining to you. Just because I'm looking sad, it's not because I'm complaining to you. Why are you shouting at me? Go back to Quran. Or go back to Prophet Yusuf. You and I have no right to shout at our parents. None whatsoever. We will have to swallow that anger. Because remember, he was crying so much. And when you look at this, and you look at it in different eyes, you say, well, they're actually telling him that don't cry, you're going to become ill. You're stopping him from becoming ill. No, you're not. Idea is to empathize with moms and dads. The idea here is, if you want him to be pleased with you, if you want to find the benchmark of whether you're successful or not, you find out what your relationship with your parents is. Now, we run something called Cupid. Cupid is Q-P-I-D. And we focus on the young people of Stanmore. And when somebody comes to me and says, how do I know? Because when I go out with him or I go out with her, they're at their best behavior. Have you seen people when they go out with each other? Valentine, have you seen it? They're beautiful. They're smiling, flowers, chocolates, everything. And my only answer is from the Quran. Just ask them to talk about their parents. That's all. You don't have to say anything. Just ask them to talk about their parents. Do they talk about their parents with respect or not? Despite whatever their parents do, it doesn't matter. How do they talk about them? I don't understand my mom. I don't know what she does. I don't understand my dad. That's different. So your first benchmark here is to look at yourself and to think, where do I stand? How do I view my parents? And if I were you, I promise you, I would never, ever, ever, and I repeat that again, I would never, ever, ever upset my mother. When I was little, My father died when I was 10, but I still remember if my mother entered the room, my father would say, "You can't sit. How are you sitting? Your mom has come into the room." We actually waited until she sat down. There is no way that he would allow us to even raise our voices at our mother. That just didn't happen. And that happens to your dads as well, by the way. I know I keep on saying mom, but that's dads as well. It's really, really important. That's your first point of call. Forget about reading Quran, forget about everything, all mustahabat. It's how you interact with your mom and dad. All I can pray for is that God keeps your parents on you. When you say in Urdu, their saya, their shelter on you for all your life. And if you don't have parents, you know what, just go to their graves. It's only when you don't have a mom and dad that you will realize the value of who a mom and dad is. You can't shout at them, you know that? Sorry, I keep on at it. You have to be gentle with them, really, really gentle. This is following the Quran, okay? All right, what we're gonna do is look at Ali al-Akbar. So can I have a salawat, please? There's a lot I could say about moms, but I don't have time. So if you look at Ali al-Akbar, he's the first shaheed of Banu Hashim. He's the first person, literally, who goes to the battlefield. Now every center does things differently. In some centers today, somebody else, but at the end of the day, they all died on the day of Ashura. Okay. So we've got to understand, we are told that Ali al-Akbar's mama, Layla, died before the event of Ashura. This is history. This is what history says. And he was raised by Sayyida Zainab. On that matter, on somebody dying, let me just tell you one more hadith because I need to drum it into you, the importance of parents. Imam Zainul Abidin. Like Ali al-Akbar, his mama died when he was 10 days old. And he was raised by a woman who worked for the household. She one day goes to his friends and complains. And she says, "I'm really sad." She cries. And the friends say, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "My mama, my son, Zainul Abidin, never sits and eats with me. Never. I sit there and he won't eat. He watches me eat." So they went to Imam Zainul Abidin and they said, "She may not be your birth mama, but she's really sad because you don't eat with her." And he wept. "Why are you crying?" And he said, "The reason why I don't sit and eat with her is that I don't want to take the food that she reaches out to. Most of your mamas feed you first and then they eat the leftovers. So I'm going to ask you one thing in the name of Ali al-Akbar. One day in a month, feed her first and then eat and see the barakah Allah brings into your life. She may resist, she may refuse. Sit her down, lay the table, tell her you will not eat until she finishes. I promise you, if you want any du'as to be accepted, those are the du'as that will be accepted." Anyway, so Ali al-Akbar is 27 years old on the day of Ashura. Imam Sajjad is about 22, 23, so they're not that far out, okay? Imam Hussein used to raise his hands and he used to say, "I ask you in the name of Fatima, give me a son who looks like Rasulullah." People used to come to Imam Hussein's house and knock on the door in the middle of the night and they used to say, "Hussein, we've come from far away. We just want to see Ali al-Akbar." And he used to go to Ali al-Akbar and say, "I'm sorry to wake you up. They just want to see you because he looked like Rasulullah." So you can imagine, exact copy of Rasulullah. His mom was Layla, whom you all know. Her father was a phenomenal man. Her mother, and I won't go into history because I don't have time, but her mother was Maymuna. Maymuna was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Muawiyah is the son of Abu Sufyan. So Muawiyah and Maymuna were siblings. Therefore, Yazid is the first cousin of Ali al-Akbar. Can you see how the connection is? Okay, so keep that in your mind and how that works out. So on the day of Ashura, Ali al-Akbar is the first person, I repeat again, first shaheed who goes out into the battlefield. And I'll take you through the whole thing. In the morning he gives azan, which you all hear. Now he goes on the battlefield. He's got two sides. On one side is his mom's family, and on one side is his dad's family. It's one of the hardest things in the world to go through. Imam Hussein raises his hands and he says, "Bear witness, Ya Allah, that I send to the battlefield someone who resembled your prophet in looks, in physical appearance, and in their mannerism." He fights bravely. Keeps on saying, "Salaamu alayka ya abati, oh my father, accept my salams, I'm doing good." But then he comes back really tired. He says, "Baba, if you gave me some water, I would do really well. I just need a little bit of water." Imam doesn't have any water. So we're told that Imam gives him his ring. There is a ring with an akik on it. And he says, "Maybe you will find something. You will find a little bit of moisture on this ring." Didn't work. Some riwayah tell us that Imam says, "Maybe my tongue might have some saliva or moisture on it. My son, try." And he says, "Baba, it is drier than mine." Imam takes off his armor. He says, "Ali al-Akbar, you know, the armor is a bit heavy. I'll take it off for you." He goes back to the battlefield. And there's one Mura ibn Munkib who says, "I am going to break his father's heart. That's what I'm going to do." Now, Arab culture was cultured in the way that they fought one-to-one. But here, they attacked him from the back and plunged a spear into his heart. So he cries out, "Assalamu alayka ya abati, peace be upon you, my father." And say the Sakina narrates that when my father heard that cry, he ran to the battlefield and he said, like Yaqub, "I cannot see. Aina Ali, Aina Ali, where are you?" He said, "We didn't know whether he was asking for his son or he was asking for his dad." He said, when my father got to my brother, Sayyidah Zainab was already there because she knew how difficult this would be. She said, "My father put his hand on Ali al-Akbar, looked towards Najaf and pulled the spear out saying, Ya Ali." He carried his son to the tent. When he put his son down, these words are recorded in history, where he said, "Bunayya ala dunya ba'daka al-atha." After you, the world is nothing but dirt. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sayalamun alladhina dhalamu ayyamun kalibiyan kalibun. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be able to follow his book, to be able to honor our parents, wherever they are, however they are, and to be able to understand that the success that we so desire is not going to come from anywhere. Starting will come with our parents. In the name of Ali al-Akbar, let's pray for all those who are going through so much suffering, especially in Palestine. We know for a fact that when you see the victory of Hussein, you know one day there will be victory. But our du'as have to be there too. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim.